invite you to hear these words this morning, first from the Old Testament, from the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." And then these words from Matthew's Gospel. When he returned to Capernaum after some days, meaning Jesus, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door. And he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. After having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak this way? It's blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves. And he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and take your mat and walk?' But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home." And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today we're starting a brand new series focusing on the power of community, the power of the crowd, the power of words. And we're going to start with this thing called community. Why? Well, it's because that's how God created us. God created us to be in community with one another. He designed us in this way, not to do life alone, but to do life with other people, to worship together, to be in relationship with one another. And that's where we go back to Genesis. At the very beginning, we see this. It's the story of creation, and in it we see God's desire to be in relationship with the world, to be in relationship with us, and for us to be in relationship with God and one another. Genesis 2:18 points to this. And you probably have heard this verse just a million times before. God has created the world. And after that, he says this. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." And so then what does God do? Well, we'll read on in verse 21. Says that the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Now, someone once told me that, hey, this was the new and improved 2.0 version of humanity. Now, of course, the person who told me happened to be a woman, but, you know, maybe there's a lot of truth to that. But the fact is, all of a sudden, Adam had a partner, had a companion, had a helper. No longer was he alone. He had someone to connect with. I mean, from the very beginning, this is how God wired us. God wired us, created us, designed us for community, to be social. It's at the root of who we are, to connect with one another. And it doesn't matter if we are introverted or extroverted, okay? We still have this same desire because it's a part of who we are. Within all of us, there's this need to connect. Now, some of us, we like to connect with a lot more people than others of us, all right? But we all still have the need to connect. St. Augustine, one of the early church fathers and theologians, said this. He said, "Our desire to be in relationship is ultimately what makes us human. It's not our money. It's not our status. It's not how much stuff we have or power or fame or anything like that." St. Augustine reminds us that what makes us fully human is our desire to connect with one another, to be in community with one another. And there is power in community. Now, I was thinking about that. Now, the ways we connect with one another, many times, much of that is via technology, isn't it, right? It's either through the internet, through social media, whatever it might be. You know, it began with, we had mobile phones, and we could call each other wherever we were. And then we got email, and now we got things like Facebook and TikTok and Instagram and all of these ways in which we can connect virtually, all right, to one another. I was doing some research this week, and Can you name the three most popular social media platforms in the world? What are the three most popular social media platforms? Probably a couple of them come to your mind right off the bat. Number one is Facebook. Number two is TikTok. And number three is Instagram. Okay? They represent 7.5 billion users throughout the world. That is a lot. And so again, much of our connecting with other people these days is actually virtual. The pandemic accelerated this, right? More people work remotely from their homes now than they do than ever before. Many of our meetings, you know, we do so via Zoom or over the internet. A lot of our meetings here at church, we don't necessarily come together for the meeting. We come together virtually over something like Zoom to do that. I mean, you can worship and never step foot in a church, right? And we're so glad that we're able to do that, that we have that capability to do that. But you don't ever have to step foot in a sanctuary to worship now, or step foot on a college campus to get your degree. Right, Bonner Research Group reported that, hey, you were talking about worship, 20% of all worship attendees, they do so online only. Right? That's, again, this has all been accelerated because of the pandemic. And I will say, it's not quite the same as being in person. I believe there's power in community when we come together and to take that not just virtually but in person as well. We're thankful that you have joined us and that you join us every Sunday and we get to spend this time together. But I love it on Sunday morning when the sanctuary is full or the YMCA is full and we're getting together in person as well. There's something about connecting, being in relationship, being in community with one another. I mean, technology is great. I mean, I have reconnected with old friends and classmates and family members through technology, and you probably have so too. And if we didn't have it, that probably would have never occurred. All right. And then the social networking has helped us create community at one level. I mean, it's hard not to be connected these days, right? Studies show that Americans, we check our phones 144 times per day, not per week, but that is per day. Think about how many times you check your phone, you look at your phone, you pick it up, whatever. Why? Because this stuff attracts us. We want it. We feel this need to be connected these days. And you know, post a picture on Facebook of your new baby or your new grandchild, and see how many comments you get and likes that you get. Why? Because we're so connected, and this stuff, you know, we put everything out there these days, right? I mean, and some of us just put out a little too much. I'll just say, you know, I really don't have a desire to know that you got up and, you know, ate cornflakes for breakfast this morning, or that you played Candy Crush on your phone, you know. But we are constantly connected. I mean, almost every business, institution, family are so. I mean, even the Pope is connected. Did you know that? The Pope has a Twitter account, I mean X account, okay? He's 87 years old, and he's on Twitter. And I checked again this week, and he has, you know, I was impressed. He has 53 million followers on Twitter. I thought, wow, that's a lot. Until I looked to see how many Taylor Swift had, and she almost has double the number of the Pope. So he tells you something right there. But you know, 53 million, that's a lot, right? Well, not when you compare it to the number of Catholics in the world, because apparently the Catholics don't know the Pope's on Twitter, because there are 1.7 billion Catholics in the world, and only 53 million follow him on Twitter, which represents less than 4% of the Catholics. Less than 4% of the Catholics follow the Pope, and it's probably less than that, because not everybody who follows the Pope are obviously Catholic, all right? But I did check to see if the Pope followed anyone in return. You know, right? Who's the Pope follow? Well, guess what? The Pope follows zero, no one. Pope says, I follow no one. All right? You'll understand why. You think about it, you'll understand why that is. But yeah, the Pope really doesn't follow anyone. I mean, actually, to be to be totally honest there, I looked and he has 63, I believe I saw 63 followers. Now, what was interesting, he follows 63 others. And what was interesting is when I looked at who those folks were, most of them were, the Pope follows his own causes, okay? So if he has a cause, it has its own Twitter account, so he follows it. Or he follows some other Vatican officials there, I believe. A lot of it was in Italian, so I didn't understand it, but it looks like, what it really looks like is the Pope follows himself. I follow no one but myself, okay? Well, and of course, God, all right? But, you know, this is our reality. I mean, if you don't tweet, you don't Facebook, you don't email, you're not Snapchatting or TikToking or Instagramming or all those things, if you're not reading a newspaper online or watching videos online, you need to understand that most everyone else is, okay? It has changed the way in which we relate to one another and how we are in community with one another. And yet, even though we're more connected than ever, we also feel most disconnected than ever. Studies continue to show that the wider our community, the wider our friend base, the more it diminishes the quality and the depth of our relationships. And so what happens is all the connecting can interfere with all of our ability, with our ability to live and function actually in community. And we can be so connected that we actually become disconnected. Disconnected from real, from meaningful relationships. Instead of being more connected, we feel more lonely. One study on this revealed that over the past 20 years, the number of people who have no confidants, meaning no close friends, has more than doubled. In other words, the number of people who feel lonely in the world has doubled, in spite of the fact that we are more connected than we ever have been. You know, one of my pet peeves is always that, you know, I can be in meetings and I've done it too, so I can't be too hard. But you're in a meeting with people and someone's talking, doing it, and you look over and someone's checking their phone. Again, 144 times a day we do it. Somebody's checking their phone, somebody's typing on a computer, doing what? They're not really present. In other words, they're not truly engaged. And we call, oh yeah, I can multitask. Well, seriously, how connected are you? How are you really paying attention? Are you really engaged, or are you distracted? All right. See, we might be connected to a lot of people, but reality is that doesn't mean that we are in community. Because there's power in real community, physical communion. It's how God created us. We need each other, not just to connect via the internet or social media, but in real flesh, in a flesh in the presence of other flesh kind of community. And I think Mark chapter 2 reminds us of this, of the passage I've read earlier. It's a great account of people needing people. Jesus is in Capernaum, his hometown there. He has a home. He was at a home. He had been traveling and he'd been preaching, and he gets home and there's a crowd there to see him and to hear him. And so we read, as we heard earlier, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get him in to see Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And then, as you heard, Jesus later on tells the man to get up and take your mat and walk. He is healed. Now, just imagine, can you come home? Imagine coming home from a long day at work or being out, and you find a flash mob waiting for you at your home. I mean, this is what Jesus was experiencing that day. It's kind of like the whole town had turned out to hear him, which is sort of amazing because this is way before the age of cell phones and Instagram and anything like that. And yet almost everyone was there except this one man, this one paralyzed man. Now, do you think he wanted to be there? Well, we don't know, but I guess I would assume that he wanted to be there. Everyone else was there. Why wouldn't he want to be there? I mean, word has spread that Jesus had the power to heal. I mean, Luke's version of this account, it says the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick, meaning Jesus. And so I'm sure this man had heard, hey, Jesus can heal. He might be able to heal you. And so do you think he wanted to be there? I have a feeling he wanted to be there just as much as anyone else, maybe even more so, but he couldn't be there. Why? Because the text tells us he was paralyzed. Now, it doesn't say how he was paralyzed. We just assume that he was paralyzed from the waist down or somewhere and he couldn't walk. And we assume that it was his legs. But we don't know. I've known a lot of people who've been paralyzed in other ways, paralyzed by fear, paralyzed by addiction, paralyzed by tragedy, paralyzed by loneliness, paralyzed by depression. So we don't know how this man was paralyzed. We just know he's paralyzed and he cannot walk because of his paralysis, whatever it might be. And so because of that, he can't get over to Jesus, where Jesus is at. He can't go and see him until four friends, it says four friends who carried him. There may have been more friends. I tend to believe that it was more than just four. All right, it says four carried him, but I have a feeling there was more than just four. They come and they take him there to where Jesus is themselves, right? They take him. That's what I want to say. They take him. They don't tell him, hey, you know, hey, Jesus is just down the street there, you know, too bad you can't go. We'll take some pictures for you and we'll post them on Facebook or we'll post a TikTok video with Jesus, all right? So you can at least, you know, see what it was all about, you know. But that's not what they do. What do? They pick him up and take him to Jesus. Wondering if we do the same, you know. Do we take people to Jesus? Maybe not. I mean, think about it. These folks take this paralyzed man to Jesus. The only problem is they can't get in to see him because there's too many. We know the story, don't we? Right? So what are they, you know, the crowd's too large. Now, they could have given up right at that moment, couldn't they? You know, they could have said, oh, you know, well, we got you here and we tried, but you know what? The crowd's too big, can't get you inside. Sorry. You know, next time, you know, we'll try it again next time, okay? Maybe tomorrow or something like that. Or, you know, they could have just dropped him off and you know, they could have just brought him there and dropped him off, said, hey, we got you, you know, we got you this far, now you're on your own. They could have done those things. They could have given up. But they didn't. Instead, they used any means necessary, which in this case meant getting onto the roof, digging a hole through it, and lowering this man right down in front of Jesus. So Jesus, there was no way that he could miss him, all right? That's what they do. It says they removed the roof above him after having dug through it. They let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, did you catch it? Let me read it again. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Because of the four friends, because of the friends, Jesus heals this man. This man is healed. Why? Because his friends took it upon themselves to bring him to Jesus. And because of that, he's healed. He takes up his mat and he goes out the door that he couldn't come through and past the crowd that he couldn't get through. Why? Because of four friends. See, this paralytic experiences the healing power of Christ. Why? Because of the power of community. These guys literally bring this man to Jesus. It took effort. It took ingenuity. It took commitment. Took perseverance, you know. And I think about us, and sometimes we just have just a hard time inviting someone, issuing an invitation to someone to come to church or to worship or to introduce them to Jesus. But you know, these guys, bring this man to Jesus. It's a great reminder that we're called to do the same, right? Because life and community isn't about how many friends you have on Facebook or how many tweets you send out. It's about, you know, it's about being in one another's presence. Real, tangible relationships, community, because there's power in community, is how we were created. And I was thinking about them, you know, the most important relationships I've had through the years, and it's folks who poured themselves into me, you know? I remember them not because of their status updates or not because of tweets or Instagram posts or anything like that. I remember them why? Because of the life they lived. I remember them because of the quality of the conversations that we had, the times when I were in their presence, right? The time that we spent together in community, right? Being in community with others, and the impact that had and continues to have in my life. Yeah, I think about Jesus in the darkest, you know, in his darkest moments. I think about on the night in which he was betrayed and he was arrested. Do you remember what he did? He didn't go away and hide. He didn't retreat to his bedroom and send out one last status update or one last tweet. What did he do? He got together with his best friends so that they can enjoy one last meal together. Right? He got together with his friends so they could fellowship one last time together. I think about the early church. It was a small group of believers who committed to doing life together, and you can read about it in Acts chapter 2. Last week, Jesse talked about Pentecost and what happened in descent, you know, in the gift of the Holy Spirit. But what happened after that? Well, it says in chapter 2 that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, to prayer. They gave to those in need. They worshiped. They ate together. They came together in community. And the result of their commitment to real community says that the Lord added to their number daily. See, it was about the quality of their relationships, not the quantity of their relationships that made the difference. Not about the numbers, okay? It wasn't about having a bunch. The focus was on community, building relationships. And because that was where their focus was, more were added to their numbers. So here's what I want to leave you with. I want you to think about. I want you to think about the communities that you are connected to, the communities that you're in. Number one, are you? If so, think about those, the quality of the relationships that you have. I mean, are you fully present? Are you focused on the here and now? Are you building the same kinds of relationships that you remember with the folks who helped to mold and shape you and influenced you? Are you building those kind of relationships with people in the here and now? I mean, we all can look back in our lives and we can say, you know what? I'm so glad that I was a part of that community or this group, or I had a relationship with this person or that person and how they influenced me and molded and shaped me. That's great. How are you doing that now? All right? Community is one of the things that sustains us, gives us life. It's how we were created, to be in community with one another. And then are we doing, and think about it, are you doing what these four friends did for this paralyzed man? In those communities, are you taking people, are you bringing people to Jesus? Are you introducing him to them? And I'm not talking about beating somebody over the head with a Bible or anything like that. It's as simple as sharing your story. Well, this is what Jesus means to me. This is why I worship. This is why I serve others. It's why I give. Whatever. It's just about being authentic. It's not about trying to be perfect. Where nobody has, you know, none of us have that perfect relationship. But it's about sharing the story, your story. And in doing that, we are taking people. We are introducing. We're inviting people into a relationship with Christ like we have, maybe. So think about that. Because one day, you know, Christ, you know, will look at them and say, hey, maybe Christ will say to this, my hope is, prayer is, that Christ will say to them, hey, you know what, your sins are forgiven because of the faith of your friends, because of the power of community. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for, I give you thanks for the online gathering. Yeah, we're in different places and we're not present physically, but we are together, Lord, and we are with, and you are with us. And so I give you thanks for that, for bringing us together. But I also pray, oh Lord, that you'll help us to truly to connect with one another, to encourage, to build up one another, to love one another sacrificially, to help us build quality and not quantity relationships, Lord. That's how you created us, to be in community with one another. So grant us the courage to do that. Help us to cultivate that. And help us to ultimately bring others to you in whatever way, shape, or form that is for us. As simply as sharing our story, Lord, help us to do that. It's how you created us and designed us to be connected with you, O Lord, but also to be in community with one another. For it's in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.